Hey, it's Herbert, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch. Oh, it's comedy in your ears, which we all love.
You're listening to the About Last Night podcast with my boy, Adam Ray.
Is the video okay?
Dude, you're looking just HD, fucking fire. You got the Cardinal red on. You got the.
It doesn't look like the it's crazy on. With the, like how expensive these damn MacBooks are, and the cameras look like shit from my end.
Dude, I look like shit?
But I've been streaming video games and shit like that on my free time. So like I had these tech people come over and like set up this fancy setup. I got a mic like you got and the headphones.
Yeah.
So I'm used to that. I'm used to that quality.
Oh, so you're just going off the speakers off the MacBook. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your game, by the way?
Call of Duty.
Fuck, dude. Can I be honest? My brother, he's younger and I'm actually about your age. You just turned what? 45? No, I'm just joking. You look like, dude, I mean, you're 23. I can't believe you're 15 years younger than me.
Yeah.
How do I look younger than you? That's crazy. I guess I wash my face a lot.
I know, right? It's nuts.
No, but dude, he's obsessed with the first-person shooter games. And I'm like, I've been always a true Madden 2K guy, like just through and through, right?
Right.
But he's so into the shooter games that he's gotten me into them because he's like, you know, there's been times where we've been kicking it over the holidays or whatnot. He's like, dude, just sit down and play a couple rounds with me.
Yeah.
So I'll play Halo or Call of Duty. Dude, that shit is intense. And like the people that are really good are scary. Like you look at them after and you're like, do you need to fucking take a walk around the block or something, man? Cause like you just took down 80 strangers and didn't even blink.
I have no remorse for it either.
No remorse.
No remorse.
Yeah. What are you playing like on Twitch?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, good for you, man. A little extra cash.
I've been twitching away. I've been grinding.
Was that one of the first things you went to once this all hit, and you were like, "Oh, I guess we're because we." So when we met at the Jordan Palmer QB camp.
Yes.
Which I was trying to play it cool because it was like, you know, that's for me was so cool to even be at, but this is like just a regular sits for you guys, just with the best of the best QBs and receivers, like. And you're pre, I don't know how many times you'd gone to this pre-workout situation before the season started. Was that your first time there or no?
That was my second time. I had went down. Well, I didn't go down for an extended period of time last year, but Kyle and Josh both were like, man, you got to stay in the house with us. Like, you got to train with us. And I'm staying in a house full of QBs. I can get all the catches that I want to get. And so I was like, yeah, I'm going to take advantage of that. And so, that was my first time staying down there in San Clemente, and it was amazing.
When you're even staying in the house with QBs, is it just like football's always on the mind to where you're like, yo, I got to go take a shit. And he's like, yo, can you run like a fucking quick post route on your way to the Doogie? And then you can just fucking catch a.
It's funny you say that because we had like three footballs laying around the crib. And so, like, I mean, anywhere somebody went, like, yo, I'm going to go upstairs real quick. Like, and it's like, hey, hit me. Like, you know, somebody's got the ball, like, immediately, or somebody's upstairs, like throwing the ball upstairs. I mean, it's football 24/7.
Were you one of those kids in high school that carried the ball around with them around school?
Not around school, but at the house for sure. Yeah. I got like my dad's got like plenty photos of me like on the couch or something, just with a football asleep, just always had it in my hand.
That's crazy. From what age do you think?
Little, like I would say. 3-4 years old, I had a football, a little stuffed football, and I used to love watching Sunday night football with him. That was like me and dad time. And it was funny. He would make me run back and forth, you know, in front of the TV. You know, he's he wants to get a little chuckle out. So he would just like drill me with it, like in the face. And, you know, it's fun again. You're playing with your little son.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so he would, I would tell him, like, throw it as hard as you can. Like, come on, throw it. And he would just drill it at me until I catch it. But until then, like, I always had a football with me. I still do. Like, I have two footballs in my car. I always go around. I got a football, you know, literally right behind me that I just always have to have around.
That's, I mean, that has to play a factor in just, like, your familiarity and touch with the ball, yeah? Like, after a certain amount of time, you just, I mean, I'm sure there's, I don't know if there's anything that's written where it's like, if you sleep with a ball, you want to talk about 10,000 hours on the field. We're talking about 10,000 hours in bed. Like, with the ball, that makes you better. Like, it's proven. Like, look at, there's probably some guy that's trying to make money off that where he's like, look at Larry Fitzgerald slept with the ball six times a week, right? And, like, in between his legs, just to, in case he caught one there. But I'm sure that does translate, right? Like, do you remember, is there a specific time, even, like, for comics, there's always, people always ask, like, when do you feel like you turned a switch on stage and you really, like, came into your own? Like, as a receiver, was there a time when you felt like, oh, shit, like, not only I'm obviously, like, done my conditioning parts, so I'm in great shape, but, like, was there a game or a practice where you just, you and the ball just fucking synced up and you're like, dude, I think I'm about to take my game up a notch, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's funny that you say that, like, with, like, the touch and feel of a ball, because if the defense is on the field for, like, a while and I'm sitting on the bench, I'll go and, like, just I'll ask one of the equipment guys to just pass me a ball and I'll just walk around with it and just kind of hold it, toss it in my hands. Because, yeah, like, just the feel of the ball, like, it kind of, like, boosts your confidence in a sense, but, like, you're more confident stepping back on the field, like, all right, you know, if first series we're out there and Kyler throws me a heater, like, I'm not caught off guard by, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it kind of, like, wakes up your nerves and your hands. I don't know. It does something psychologically for you.
Dude.
I would say, like, in college, like, my freshman year, and I had, like, a crazy first four games in my freshman year.
Oh, yeah.
And
you went off.
Yeah, it was just, like, you know, that fourth game we played against Arkansas, and it was my first SEC game, and, like, I was just catching everything. And I'm like, damn, like,
this are you in your head like, oh, I'm going to be the best ever, dude.
I was like, this is easy. Like, yeah, I didn't, yeah. Like, nobody told me it was going to be this easy, but
right.
Every game I played in to date since I've been in college, I've dominated. So, like, only, like, Lord only knows where I could go from here. And so it was pretty early in college where I was like, oh yeah, I'm taking off.
Does that camp? I mean, you're just talking about catching heaters, Josh Allen. I mean, you were there for that. First of all, you were so cool. That I got to be honest, man. That was like a very, you know, I've been a fan of you since your A&M days, although I got buddies that are like, dude, I saw fucking Kirk play at Saguaro High School, man. That guy fucking was the shit, dude. These are obviously like old town bros. They're like, that guy fucking rules, dude. He's fucking, dude, we're from the same fucking city, dude.
Right. Totally.
They claim you. And, but you know, it's like right away, you knew I was there to like make some goofs, but like I got in your line to like, you know, which was so cool too, the way it was set up where it was like, you know, Burrow and Josh Allen and Kyle and Mark and everybody kind of doing their, you know, they do their footwork and whatnot before a pass. And then Jordan would call it a line and you would run a route and catch a ball. And you were so cool right away. I was like, yo, I'm here to obviously like try to catch a ball. I think I even said like, I'm trying to get in the league. And you smirked and kind of knew that I was like full of shit, but you were like, well, good luck, man. Like it's, you know, go get it. I think you said. Like
yeah.
Some cool fucking black guy slang. You were like, dude, fucking live it. Follow your dreams, man. And I was like, fucking Christian Kirk's the fucking man. And I just wanted to be your best friend. And then we get out there and we're actually like running. Like, you know, I also thought it was going to be kind of like running through the motions a little bit. And then I see you fucking just dart it to the corner and just make this smooth ass catch. And I was like, all right, I guess I need to really try. And then I don't know if you saw when they were all in on Josh Allen throwing me a heater into my,
Yeah,
dude. I mean, I'm still bleeding from the abdominal muscles.
You're no bleeding.
But do you get catches like do you ever see like Kyler, you know, mid game just, you know, chuck one where you're like, oh, dude, I need to. Is there extra prep in your brain when you see the ball come zipping off his hands at a speed that you're maybe like weren't anticipating?
Yeah, it's tough because you try not to think about that. I would say as a receiver, the more like you say, like it's third down and three, and he gives you a slant, and you know Kyler's coming to you, and you know he's going to throw it as hard as he can because he's got to fit it in between that small window between the linebacker and the corner that's draped all over you. We in our room, we always say, like, don't let the game speed you up. And so, like, once you, like, get all, like, pent up, you're like, oh, shit, the ball's coming towards me, it makes it 100 times worse. You just kind of got to, like, play it out. And then after the fact, you're like, yeah, he just drilled that. Like, it's just something that you honestly – you train for it. Like I said, you know, that's why I go out there in California and stuff like that and catch from all different types of quarterbacks, because they all have their own way of releasing the ball and it all comes out different, but like they all have different arm strengths. And so you get a guy like Josh who throws the ball 100 miles per hour at all times, that builds you up like for those moments. You know what I mean? It just all kind of accumulates, and it's just muscle memory at the end of the day.
What was it? Were you a super football crazed kid growing up in Arizona? Like, was that just from the get go? Because I've heard, you know, obviously some athletes are like you said, held a ball at a young age. And then some, you know, I was talking to Mark Sanchez a couple of days ago, and I didn't even know that he didn't even know he wanted to be a QB until like it was seventh or eighth grade. And I was like, that seems late to me. But, I guess, did you know football was going to be it? Like, you were going to go full steam ahead from an early age?
Nah, so I play football, but I was a very like active outdoorsy kid. I had a lot of West Coast in me because I was always like riding my bike, skateboarding and stuff like that. Like,
you're about to say skateboarding, and I was like, dude, I gotta know that's what you were up. Like, how many do you still skateboard?
Oh yeah, I still got a BMX bike too.
Fuck, dude, AZ's a good spot for that, right?
Great spot. And yeah. So. I loved BMX. I loved, you know, riding my skateboard and stuff like that. Like, I was always outside doing that type of stuff. And, you know, I was always, you know, I figured out early that I was fast. And so that's what got me by, you know, being good at football for a while. I wasn't big at all. I was always the smallest kid on my team, but I was just faster than everybody.
You outran everybody, huh?
Everybody. And so.
How pissed were older guys from you? And, like, did it make you feel so cool when, like, older guys were like, God damn, I can't catch them?
So it's funny. My first two seasons of football, you'll actually enjoy this. My dad forged my birth certificate when I was five so I could play a year up to play football.
Are you fucking serious?
Tackle football. And so,
that's so gangster. Oh, my God.
So I was like the youngest, littlest kid out there. And they were like, Aaron's like, he's awful small to be out there. And I played like – I like rotated at right tackle and like defensive line. And I would just get destroyed, always coming back, you know, crying and stuff like that. And so – I think it was the end of my second season, the coach would just let the kids play whatever position they wanted to play. Yeah. And so I never got the ball. So I'm like, I want to play running back. And they're kind of like, oh, okay. So it was like the last game of the season, we're up by a couple of touchdowns. They put me at a running back. I get the ball. I go score. And they were like, they go to my dad, like, why don't you tell us he could run like that? Second time they give me the ball, go score. So they're like, all right, yeah, next season you're going to be our running back. And so, yeah, but I was just outrunning everybody. And nobody knew I was fast. And then I just
took off. There's footage of that, yeah?
Oh, yeah. We got all the footage.
I was going to say, dude, because, like, to just score every time you get the ball, I mean, were you also – did you also have kind of, like, some shimmies and some shakes? Or were you just, like, catching a hole and just see you later? There was no stopping you.
Yeah, that's just, like – it was just God-given at that point. And you see, like, a lot of people, especially, like, really talented running backs, that's all God-given. Like, there's just some things that you can't teach. You know what I mean? And so that's how it was for me. But
so you thought you were going to be running back for a minute, yeah?
Oh, I played running back all the way until I got to high school.
God damn.
Yeah, until I got to high school. And then a kid by the name of DJ Foster was the senior running back at Saguaro when I got there. And obviously DJ was all world. Scored like 60 touchdowns his senior year. And so
– that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of touchdowns. And I got moved – to wide receiver as a freshman, played up and played varsity. And so that's how the whole receiver thing started.
Same thing. Did you kind of pull what you did as a freshman on varsity? Were you just like ripping up the like junior and senior DBs?
Yeah, I got my first two offers after my freshman year. And I think I was first team, or I was like all state honorable mention. I was like, all freshman team, you know, from Max Preps, you know, in the country, and it just kind of all took off from there.
Is that surreal to even, like, because, again, you're having these, like, accomplishments and accolades and, like, you know, the proof's in the pudding. People probably even like prior to high school, or probably like starting to be like, dude, you're fucking like trying to just get on the Kirk bandwagon, and just, you're starting to feel that like, oh man, I'm definitely on, I got something special here. But when you start getting the letters freshman year and just attention nationally, are you able to stay just completely focused and grounded, or is it so new and overwhelming that you kind of like lock yourself in your room and you're like, holy shit, dude, like I need to take a breath because like I'm NFL bound if I keep my shit together. Yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy because I was like football crazed. I was always like on my computer looking up who was the best seniors to come out of each class. Like,
oh, nice.
Five stars. And you know, I was looking at everybody. I was just obsessed with that. I was like, I want to be a five star. Like, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to go.
Look at how they did it. See if you could emulate that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I'm more blessed than, you know, I would say many people that are in my position. You know, I have both of my parents, you know, I come from a great family. And so they were both in my lives and they kept me very, very disciplined and narrow-minded, and just in a sense of, if you want something, you know, you got to go get it. And you know, this little kid, high school stuff, you know, outside of football that you think is cool and you want to jack around that your friends are doing, most likely they're not going to end up where you want to be if you want to partake in
Damn.
All that.
So they're like, you see that guy jacking off outside the McDonald's? And you're like, yeah, that's Trevor. You're like, exactly. Fucking, you ain't kicking it with him anymore because that's what he's doing tomorrow night. And you're studying game tape. Yeah.
Exactly right. And so I don't know. I realized where I wanted to go very, very, very soon.
Yeah.
And I realized like I didn't want to just like, you know, play high school football and play college and hope that I made it to the NFL. It was like, I want to be a five star. I want to go to a top 10 university. I want to be an All-American and I want to get drafted in round one or two. You know, that was like high school. I already knew that's what was going to happen.
Wow, dude. Yeah. See, that to even be that specific, like I want to go in the first two rounds, because I mean, that's also though, that's a goal, because I'm sure if you're playing with the intention of, I just want to get drafted, I feel like that's too lofty of a mindset, right? Like you gotta be like those first two rounds. A, that's where people truly remember those guys, but it's also, it's validating, I would assume, more so than getting picked later. So A&M, Texas A&M is like, obviously like just a quintessential college football town, stadium, team. I'm sure you had like a shit ton of offers. Where did it fall? Where did it rank with the places? And what was that recruitment process like? Because from what I've seen in movies like Blue Chips or fucking Varsity Blues or, you know, just any Friday Night Lights, like that shit looks so just dope and fun to be. It's almost, you know, I did the frat thing at USC and it's like, that's a piece of it where you got these dudes being like, yo, come to a Laker game, dude, come sit courtside. And then we're going to fucking shave your legs and make you sit on a wall for 8 weeks. And you're like, all right, cool. That seems like that balances out.
Right.
But like when they're coming at you, just telling you how great you are, is that awesome or is it scary?
It's scary. I mean, it's scary. It's a lot to deal with. I'm not even going to lie, because like you said, everybody in that organization, whatever school that you're talking to, is going to tell you you're the best thing since sliced bread. And so, especially nowadays with social media, like the shit I see, it's honestly ridiculous. I'm like, I don't know how these coaches can sit here and tell these kids like, you're going to be the next Lamar Jackson. Like, what are we talking about? You know, it's just the recruiting process is insane. I loved it. It's a lot though. Like I remember taking, like literally sitting on my bedroom floor, and like, it was like I had to schedule meetings with coaches. Like I'll be on the phone for 5 hours with recruiting coaches.
Could they possibly be telling you for 5 hours?
They just want to talk. You know, we just want to get to know you and tell you more about our school and how great you look. You know,
it's almost like I envision the coach laying in his bed, twirling his hair, being like, what you thinking about? And you're like, dude, it's been 5 hours, man. Can we just fucking, I'll call you tomorrow or next week.
That's how it was. It was phone call after phone call. And so funny, Kyle was obviously a very highly recruit coming out of Arizona. We have been boys since middle school.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, me and Kyle grew up together.
Oh, that's extra special. That's awesome.
So me and Kyle grew up out here in Scottsdale, and Kyle was the number one quarterback in the country at the time and had every school recruiting him too. he was taking an unofficial to Texas A&M, and I was like a sophomore. I had like three offers at the time, and he was like, "Hey, can I bring my buddy on the visit with me?" And they're like, "Yeah, what's his name?" And they're like, "He's like, it's Christian Kirk. You know, he's just gonna come check it out with me." And I remember going with them, and I got there, and they're like, "You're pretty good." And I was, and, you know, they're like, "You're young, whatever." And so they're like, "You know, we're gonna keep evaluating you." And I loved the visit. I loved every second of it. They showed me a lot of love, even though they hadn't even offered me yet. And they came out. Coach Sullivan ended up offering me. Things were a little cheesy, but like, it's love at first sight. It was my first visit, and I'm like seeing Kyle Field. I'm seeing all this shit. I'm like, oh my gosh! And so they're just coming off of Johnny Manziel era. Like, they had all the hype in the world, and so they ran the spread offense in the SEC. And you know, I remember it came down to A&M, ASU, Auburn, Ohio State, and I want to say UCLA. But, yeah, man, I mean, ASU was tough to turn down because it was the whole hometown hero. And, you know, they sold me on that. I took my official visit. The game they beat Notre Dame, they upset Notre Dame, where Notre Dame was, like, top 10 in the country. And, you know, that shit was wild. And it was just like, I didn't know I was going to A&M until like two nights before I was going to commit. And I graduated early. And so this was like December, and it was like two nights before. And I just like woke up one morning. I was like, yep, I'm going to A&M.
Wow. What did ASU do that was so, do you feel like extra special? Like, obviously I'm sure they are just prodding on that. Like, dude, like, you're 20 minutes from home, like Old Town's right there. They bring in some bros, be like, dude, we got fucking, I know Brett at fucking Frogs and Ladders, and we can go every Friday, dude, if we want. Like, yeah. What sort of extra hometown thing did they throw at you that you were like, oh, all right, I've never heard of that?
Well, it was sick because when I took my official visit, the recruits are allowed to be on the field, like, for pregame. And when I walked out, they made sure that no other recruit that was there that day was walking out the tunnel for pregame. And so I came out before the team even came out for their pregame warm-up. And so they walked me out, and I'm, like, kind of walking along the field. And, like, half of the stands, like, the student section is chanting, hometown hero. And then they got, like, the signs, and, like, people have my face and, like, paint their number. Like, it was nuts. And I'm looking like, hold, like, this isn't for real. And I remember they won that game, and like all my friends went there. I had like three best friends that went to ASU that played ball there. And so obviously DJ was there, and it was tough to turn down, but I knew I had to get away from Arizona to get a change of scenery and stay out of trouble, man. It's easy to get in trouble out here. It's a fun place to live. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to look at. And so it's just like, you know, I knew where I wanted to go, like I said. And so I was like, let me go and place myself in College Station, Texas, where I'm an hour and a half away from every major city, I'm going to just go focus on ball.
Yeah, if you're away from the distractions, you know, if they are an hour and a half, that's like just far enough away to perfect. Not – yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. It's like Scottsdale and Flagstaff. You're like, dude, I could go up, get a massage, see what happens, or I could stay near campus and follow my dream. Does the A&M, like – is that – fan base in that stadium, I mean, is it as bonkers as it looks? Is it like second to none as far as the ambiance when you walk in? Like, tell me that first time walking through the tunnel. I mean, freshman year, dude, I think you were over, it was like 1,079 yards.
Yeah,
dude, that's insane. I don't know if that was a record. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say second to none, like without a doubt. There's nothing like it. I don't think. Wait, when you're walking in that tunnel and like they got the drums playing in front of you, and the Corps cadets walk out in front of you with the drums, and then they start playing that Power by Kanye West and the whole stadium's chanting, like I get goosebumps every time I think about it and I see it. And just like looking back on the games that I played in, you know, when the stadium was holding like 111,000 people, it's just you can't really explain it. And just being on that field and, you know, returning a punt against Alabama on like College game day, like you can't script that type of stuff.
Welcome to King's Guado Hotel. May I have your last name, please?
Good morning, ma'am. Can I help you?
Oh, my, what happened? Oh,
bailmen are clumsy and stupid.
Still a bailman. You've had this job since high school, right?
Well, actually, now I am the bail captain.
Oh. All right, kid. You ready for check-ins?
I was born. I think he was going to say I was born ready.
Steve, the captain. Captain Steve.
The closest thing we have to a god on Earth, Gunther Gashamone!
It's worse than I thought.
He's a complete slimeball, right?
Oh, yeah, no question.
Do you feel my foot on your foot?
That's not me.
There's something under the table that feels like a foot.
What are you doing right now?
I'm working.
I got a promotion.
I just lied to Kelly.
Why would you do that?
I don't know, man. I just want another shot.
Sid Whitman worked his way up the ladder and bought the hotel.
He's the boss.
Do me a favor. Take it easy on the bellman, would you?
I'd rather have crack guard melt my balls.
Take care, boys.
I mean, it's a huge scam. And those girls were in on it, too.
Don't you want to know what our bodies are capable of?
Yes, girl, yes. Definitely.
I just work here during the day, but my nights is off.
Let's do this!
Gunther is conning everyone with Spirifresh.
You broke into a guest room!
This is unacceptable!
He has been impersonating a manager, and that is a felony.
I don't think that's a felony.
He should be fired!
Get set!
Go! Bunch of really real G's burning trees till we low, sitting by 45 like I'm Jordan on the flow. Here we go, guess the brain is what they say my name for.
I mean, I'm not sure he's ready, but...
Shut up, bitch!
With our minds, we begin to urinate, and then, for real, into our pants.
I'm unforgettable.
Is the athletic, like, student, like, you know, I was at SC 2001-2005 for the Reggie Bush liner. I got 1 year of Palmer, Carson, and then maybe two, actually, freshman, sophomore year, and then Leinart junior and senior with Reggie Bush and Lindell, and just, you know, that whole 30 for 30 Trojan War team, like, yeah. I was there for that, and that seemed bonkers to me, and just knowing a few of the football players and getting an insight into, like, being one at a prestigious school, what the pressure's like, what the boosters are like, and then, like, fans, and, I mean, is it even, like, is it easy or super difficult to blend into, like, campus life? Do you feel like you're walking around, everyone's always staring at you, especially after your freshman year, dude? I mean, you came out of the gate, yeah, like, letting everybody know, like, and people, college kids especially, and all sports fans love when somebody who just got there is all of a sudden, like, they can put their superstar label on or be like, that's our guy. Like, people right. love that. So right. I'm sure they did that to you, yeah?
Yeah, it wasn't easy to blend in on campus. And, you know, especially when you go to school in Texas where it's football or nothing, you know, they're going to know who you are. But it was fun, man. Just people are so nice there and, like, yeah. respectful. And, yeah, they're football crazy, but, you know, it wasn't nothing too overboard. Like, yeah, when we go out and stuff, you know, it got a little out of hand and whatnot, but people wanted pictures and just stuff like that. But campus, you know, I feel like our academic staff did a real good job of, like, for me, my junior year, my last year there, like, I had two classes, you know, early morning where I would get in and just get out, you know, and I wasn't really on campus that much. And so they did a good job of doing it for that. But yeah, it's a real thing. It's just, like, trying to, like, blend in and just kind of be another student, you know, going to school.
Do you have any, I don't know, were there, like, hazing? Who was the rival with A&M?
We did. So they say it's Texas, but yeah, that we don't play anymore. You know, and they also, like, our SEC rival is LSU. But we beat LSU 2 years ago. But, you know, it's just kind of, it goes back and forth.
Do you ever remember or get anything from opposing fans? Like, I remember playing high school basketball. I just drove by, because I'm up in Seattle right now, high school. I drove by Matling Terrace where, you know, I had big poofy hair and I wore a headband when I played. And their fans were crazy. And they were, like, one of the best teams in the state. And they called me, like, gay Elvis and, like, all this. I mean, like, their fans were just – they would yell. One kid even tried to spit at me once when I was, like, about to shoot a three in the corner. Like, you just got those fans hugged up right up against you there in the corner. But –
right.
Like, obviously, collegiate fans, a little more separate, thankfully. But, like, was there ever a game where you were like, oh, shit, like, this is getting real, because you were starting to show a name for yourself, and maybe the fans were recognizing it. So they're like, dude, fucking, we're getting in Kirk's head tonight.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. I'll probably say each time we went to Death Valley, and I'm actually happy because not a lot of people get to say they played at Death Valley at night. And that's next to Kyle Field. That's probably the best atmosphere to play in. Like it's real deal when you're playing LSU at night.
Yeah.
And those people down there at Ole Miss are crazy too. Ole Miss, you know.
They seem like it. That's like Bobby Boucher territory.
Oh yeah, it's a little different down there. That was like the one place, you know, I'm a West Coast kid, and so you know, playing in the South was different. We go on the road and we get to go to Knoxville and Mississippi State, you know, stuff like that. And you know, just pulling up to Ole Miss for the first time, I was like, yeah, this is definitely not what I'm used to. This is a whole different world down here.
Oh yeah. Would your folks travel to games like and all that and just?
Yeah, they were awesome. They made it to They made it to almost all of my collegiate games.
That's fucking crazy. But yeah, what a dream. Oh, go ahead.
Oh yeah, no, I was just saying, just because, like I said, A&M was such like when you go to school in the South, family is number one, and so you know all the parents and stuff like that, you know, they embrace you with open arms. And
that's awesome.
You know, when I couldn't make it home for holidays and stuff like that, you know, my teammates' parents, you know, were taking me in, like treating me like I was their kid. It made me like twice. Like it's just, it was amazing. And so you know, they treated my family the same way. My family made great relationships, and so they would just go and for the simple fact that they had friends out there and they were building a life out there and they're always down there. So yeah, they're making it all the games.
Is that an extra, I don't know if incentive to play hard, but just like my mom, you know, would come to all my basketball games and would, you know, embarrass me sometimes. She'd scream out, we're in a playoff game. I'm at the free throw line, down by two. I'm at the line, like 8 seconds left. She screams as it's dead quiet. Just have fun. And I'm like, Mom, fuck. Like, it was just, but, you know, she didn't know how to shut off the love and support. When you got your folks at the game, does knowing that, like, do something? Or are you just so locked in that it doesn't phase you one way or the other?
Sorry, you like cut off for a little bit.
Oh, I was saying, like, if your folks are at the game, does it add something to the way that you – play, like, versus them not being there? Or are you so dialed in that even if they're not, you're like, well, I talked to them right before, so that's the same shit?
Yeah, it got a little easier as I got older, but it's still nice knowing that they're there.
Yeah,
in college, you know, it's tough to, in college home games, they usually sit your parents in the same spot, so I was able to find them. You know, if my dad, like, it's weird, me and my dad got, you know, if you couldn't tell, a real close connection. And
yeah,
you know, so when I looked towards their way, he would always stand up and just give me a little gesture, like a let's go or something like that.
Yeah.
So he'd always know, like, if I'm looking in the stands, like, he'll stand up. But NFL's been a little more difficult because they sit your family wherever the hell and just, like, all over the place. So I know that they're there, but, you know, I can't really see them as much. But, you know, it's still, you know, even when they're not there, you know that they're watching and stuff like that and they're proud. And that's really all that matters, you know.
Did you have goosebumps or were you reminiscing a lot since the draft just happened? Like, that was only 3 years ago for you, right?
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy, man. Like, what you're doing in the NFL already is just so fucking bonkers. And I know you're so humble, so you're not going to really, like, you know, yes and that too hard. But, like, you've got to see, like, guys that are going through the draft or just went through it and, like, first of all, how many guys, like, reached out to you to ask, like, yo, clearly, like, I want to be drinking the same shit you drank because you're 3 years in the league and you made an impact right away. I'm sure some of that, and Mark and I have talked about this a lot, where it's like, yeah, look, where you go has a lot to do with it. The system, the coach, like, how many guys are ahead of you. There's so many variables. And but do you think you can kind of fight through that and still make a case for yourself as far as being like a, you know, someone who should be high on the depth chart just because of your play? Like, how much can you really control if you go into an environment where maybe the chips are stacked against you?
Yeah, it, I think it's 50-50.
Yeah.
You know, just a, like, the unfortunate part you know, in the nature of our league is, you know, based on, you know, draft status and, you know, at the end of the day, it is a business and we all know that. And so the guys who are picked in the first, second, and third round are most likely going to get more shots to perform and prove themselves
right
before they fail until somebody takes their spot. But when you got like an undrafted guy and, you know, he works his tail off every day, he does everything right and nothing wrong and just outworks. Everybody at some point always gets their opportunity. I believe. One of the best guys we got in the room. He works as hard as he can and does everything right. But, you know, they're going to give the guys that, you know, they pay more money, you know, the opportunity to succeed. But at the same time, that can get taken away from you really fast if you provide – you prove that you provide no value to the team. That was one of the things my offensive coordinator my rookie year, Mike McCoy, told me is the quickest way for you to earn respect and to earn value on this team is, number one, prove to the vets that you can help them win games. Because they've been around, they work their tail offs, and especially the guys that are – 5 years plus, they're here for a reason. And so once you're a high drafted guy and you're just doing as you're told and not much more else, and you mess up from time to time, you're late to a meeting and all you care about is, you know, your chain that you're going to buy. Like, this don't, like, they don't care about that. They don't want guys like that in the locker room. But if you can control your approach and you can show that you're a professional, everything that you do from a young age, you gain respect really, really early. And I think that's what helped me out was, you know, I just always had a professional mindset and always just kind of did everything that I was asked to do and then just found two more steps after that to do that as well. And right. it gave me respect.
Did you talk to anybody like from this past draft? Like, did you reach out or have anybody reach out to you?
Yeah, I had there's two receivers from A&M that went into the draft process that actually one of them was out there in committee. His name is Courtney Davis. You know, he was in this draft class, and I played 2 years with Courtney at A&M. And, you know, just talking to him about it and just honestly, man, just I was like, just enjoy it because it's a stressful time. That whole draft process is crazy stressful just because you have no idea where you're going to go. Like, I felt like – I never had anxiety, and I developed anxiety, you know, going through the draft process. I'm living out of suitcases, boxes. I had all my stuff packed up, you know, 3 weeks before the draft because I was like, you know, I got to get ready to move somewhere, you know what I mean? And
because you're going the next day, more or less, yeah?
Yeah, and I got blessed because I didn't have to go anywhere. I just had to unpack again. But, you know, for most guys, you know, you could move all the way across the country, and you just have no idea where to go and the situation you're going to fall into, and everybody wants to play. You just, you're uncertain about the future. So I was like, man, just take it day by day and enjoy every second. That's it.
Did Steve Wilks was the coach at the time when he got drafted, right?
Yeah.
Did they reach out to you at some point and even give you like a heads up, like, yo, we're thinking about taking you? Or are you just going into this thing being like, I got no fucking clue. Like, even I feel like sometimes teams will, you know, start to put something out there, maybe give you a heads up, like, yeah, we're thinking about this. But then it's like, well, I don't even want to start wrapping my head around getting locked into one team. Like, obviously a lot of teams probably, you know, want me at this point. It's just going to be about where things fall. But
right.
When did you know that AZ was locking you up? Because that's like, again, dude, like to do what you did in AZ in high school. And then, I mean, I would love to see the stats on on a hometown kid getting to play for his hometown team. But that's pretty fucking bonkers. So when did you like know that was about to be the reality?
It's like this for most guys. I don't know if you know this, but I knew I was going to the Cardinals one pick before they picked me. I got the phone call.
That's really how it is.
Yeah. It's literally one, like Arizona kind of is like the next pick and your phone rings and you're like, oh, this is happening.
Dang. I guess that would make sense. That's why you've seen just like grown men just losing their shit, right? Like, yeah. You wouldn't react like that, I don't think, if you knew like an hour prior, right?
So like, I'll give you a little bit of the background. You get every team gets what they call top 30 visits. And so they get to bring in 30 different players that they'd like to bring in that they're interested in. Right after the combine, I flew back to Arizona, and Arizona brought me in that day. And I did, it's like an official visit to a college. You go see the facility, meet with the coaches,
right,
take dinner, blah, blah, blah. So after the dinner, it was me, Steve Keim, offense coordinator, Ty Mike McCoy, receiver coach, Kevin Garver. Had a great dinner. They're like, all right, man, you know, enjoy the process. Hopefully you hear from us. And that was that. And I was kind of like, oh, like, is that? I was like, damn, that's it?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I
was like, no high five, no fucking chest bump, no nothing.
Yeah, like hope you hear from me. Like, okay. So I went to Carolina, Pittsburgh, New England, and that was it. I think that was it. And I visited those teams as well, and it's kind of the same thing, you know, learn a little bit of offense, blah, blah, blah. So get to, you know, some GMs, like the week leading up to the draft, you get pretty much every team calls you and be like, is this Christian Kirk? Yes. Is this the phone you'll be using on draft day? Yes. Is this your agent? Yes. All right. Good luck on the draft. Hang up. And so you just kind of confirm everything. So, yeah, man, obviously I was hoping to go late round one because – the Patriots had the 30th or 29th pick.
Yeah.
Dallas had a late pick too. I was projected to maybe go to Dallas. And so like that whole back end of day one was rough on me just because, you know, as a kid, you know, I don't shoot. Not that second round is by any means something I need to be disappointed in.
Yeah.
You know, it worked out, but you know, you want to go first round.
Come on.
And so I had like 200 family and friends with me in Paradise Valley, and we had running out of house, big party. So I got up the next morning, I got a workout in, you know, just kind of cleared my head, chilled by the pool all day. And so, you know, we're sitting there and it's like, I think I was the 10th pick or like 7th pick in the second round. And
do you start to kind of throw some back too? When you're at the pool, you're like, hey, let's get some margaritas going. Cause if I'm not picked this round, I definitely want to be fucked up for the third round.
100%. I started right when I got done with my workout. It was probably 9 o'clock. I started cracking it open.
Good for you, dude. You're like, dude, it's White Claw time. I don't care if the clock says 10:15.
Even the day before the first round, I mean, I started
200 people, dude.
I started getting so stressed because everybody's watching. Like, the picture. I have a picture on my Instagram of like me on the phone when I get the call, and there's just people surrounding me, and so. I remember the bartender we had there was just like, would you like another drink? And I'm just locked in. I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And I'm just kind of nervously drinking. So when first round, you know, got over with, I stood up and I was like, oh, shit. I was like, that was a long 5 hours that I totally forgot about. But yeah,
I casually sipped 19 mojitos.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, second round, it was right, you know, picked before, and a 602 number popped up, and I was like, oh, it's probably just a scout, because they got scouts from all over the place and different teams.
Or maybe a homie from high school, dude.
I told everybody not to call
Kristen,
me.
Yo, Kristen, man.
I told everybody, you better not call me. Do not call me.
Oh, and yeah. Because how many of those friend texts are you getting nonstop, right? Like, that's bullshit, man. The Bengals should have taken you or some shit, right?
Nah, so I had to go to Sprint and just make sure that, like all my, like everybody that had, they did something to where like only a certain few people could get through to my phone.
Right.
And so, I got on the phone and I'm like.
So 602 comes through and you pick it up and you're like thinking it's not anyone that you're going to have any care for, but it's.
It's Steve Keim from the Arizona Cardinals. How are you doing? And I was like, no. And then, like, my heart immediately dropped, and not my voice, you know, like, you're just like trembling, like, really nervous.
Dude.
I couldn't even talk. And so, everybody's still looking at me because nobody has any idea. Like, they don't know if I forget who had the pick before. I think it was like the 49ers or something like that. So, they're either thinking 49ers or they're thinking like the two teams after. And so, nobody knows. So, I get off the phone, and I remember like, it goes dead silent. And I kind of go back like this, and my mom goes, so? And I like kind of just look around. I was like, I'm going to be a Cardinal. And the whole place erupts. And I remember I was like, I'm not going to cry. And I hugged my mom, lost it. Just absolutely lost it.
Oh, man, dude, I'm getting teary-eyed to listen to that shit.
So I'm hugging my mom, and I'm just losing it. My sisters are there. My dad's hugging me, and they're all crying. They're like, we're so proud of you. Like, you did it. And so this is a crazy part. So
there's a crazier part?
Well, not crazy, but like ESPN is there, like all the live cameras are there for the draft reaction. So it's not live yet on the TV. So like, Christian, we need you to pull it together, act like you don't know.
Fuck that.
So because they're like the world doesn't know that you know already. So
I had dude, that's kind of fucked. So they're trying to pull the rug out from your emotional moment.
Yeah,
it's great. You got drafted. Yeah, hometown team. Yeah, your whole family's there. Yeah, suck it up, dude.
So like, it was like two celebrations. So they're like, all right, you know, pull it together.
Okay.
So like, when you see me, like when they announce it, I'm like sitting on the couch. I'm like slouched back, and you could tell like I had just been crying, and they announced it on TV, and then everybody goes nuts again, and we had to like, you know, kind of recreate the moment. But it's crazy, man. It's a life changing moment.
Wow, dude, that is so. I mean, you know, then you probably just get inundated with like old PE teachers, fucking ex-girlfriend. I mean, everyone's just like season ticks, question mark, right? Like,
yeah. Everybody you thought who you're like, oh, you know, I won't have to deal with them. I'm going to move away. And then you're like, oh, you're back home. So
back in my life. Have you, okay. So take me through. I mean, that's bonkers. That's a great story, by the way, that you'll never forget that. What's the first day then, once the dust settles and you start getting locked in, you get that football brain back on, driving up to, I guess, the stadium, right?
So the next morning, and this is the kicker too, about even the first rounders got to do it. Like, yeah, you can go out and party and celebrate, which you're supposed to, but you got to be up the next morning at like 6 a.m. to go in for an early morning press conference. So I got up the next morning, got my suit on, whatever, and I went up to, you know, the Cardinals facility, had my press conference. They give you your iPad and all that stuff, and you got to get ready for rookie minicamp. I think rookie minicamp was the following week where we reported.
Yeah. That's crazy, man. All right, so does Larry Fitzgerald, the fucking legend, like this, when does he hit you up and go, yo, welcome to the family? Because I've heard this from – I did the roast of David Ortiz like 3 years ago, and it was like, you know, Bill Burr was there and Gronk and Dustin Pedroia from the Red Sox. Like, it was a big East Coast thing, right? And Gronk, in the short time we talked, I was dressed up in full prosthetic as an 80-year-old Yankees fan, so he didn't even know I was a fucking a young dude anyway. But once I broke the fourth wall and was like, hey, I'm not an old man, he was like, oh, shit, I don't know. But he told me that, like, and I didn't really think about this, but he's like, dude, he's like, everyone kind of is with their guys. And you're kind of, he's like, I'm with the receivers and tight ends. And he's like, I don't really talk to, he's like, me and Tom don't really kick it. Like, we're on the field, we do our things. He's like, but he's like, I don't have a ton of friends on the team. He's like, everyone's in their groups. And then you kind of come together. And obviously he's probably speaking from his experience, but
right.
I just thought everyone kind of was friends with everybody, but it sounds like every program is different. So I'm curious, like, with a guy like Larry, who is on such a pedestal for most football fans and players, I'm assuming he like reaches out and does something, right? Sends a bucket of fucking fleshlights or something. What does he do? Like,
so the 2 weeks before the draft, I had known Larry. I met Larry when I was 5 years old. There was like a picture going around of me at his football camp, me and him.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so that was like the big thing. Once that happened, that picture got pushed everywhere. He had a football camp his rookie year in Flagstaff, and I went, and there was a picture of me and my football pads with Larry. I was five, and I was 5 years old, like 5 or 6 years old. He's a rookie in the NFL.
Holy and so, shit, dude.
We had known each other like in passing, and you know, he had said congratulations to me after my, you know, college career, and
yeah,
I think I had a big game. He's like, go win the Biletnikoff, like just stuff like that, and always had been an idol of mine. And 2 weeks before the draft, I played in his celebrity softball game.
Yeah,
he invited me out, and I played in a celebrity softball game. He's like, good luck, man. Like, hopefully we can be teammates. Sure, shit, we're teammates.
Holy
and
shit!
So yeah, so. We just ended up, you know, building a relationship from there. And now he's like one of my best friends now. During quarantine, you know, we've been working out together at his house every day, and just,
yeah, he's probably got a real piece of shit gym, huh?
Yeah. It's awful.
It's a couple of benches, like a curves, like the stretchy things that got a curves.
Yeah. It's everything's got rust. Like you're probably, yeah, you get in your cut,
No, it's fucking, it's bonkers, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, he lives a good life, but you know, he's so good to everybody in the room though. He just, he loves being around the guys, and I think that's the one thing that keeps him coming back is, you know, we're such a young room now, and you know, especially with my class, there was a bunch of guys that, you know, he kind of grew close to all of us, and we keep saying that we keep pulling the 20s out of him. You know, we're starting to give him Benjamin Button. He's going backwards.
I'm sure learned so much, but like, what do you, in your first year, like, what did you get from him? And it can be an off field thing too, because that's also a guy I feel like that's done it right off the field, as far as, you know, you can't be as revered as he is, you know, if your play isn't, you know, consistent, but also you do stuff in the community, like you've got a rep of being a good guy. You're not popping up in Old Town, you know, like fucking holding, you know, wet t-shirt contests or motorboat festivals. Like he's doing like things the right way. So like, does he tell you about that, or you just kind of know it and you're like, since I look up to him, I'm just going to kind of follow suit?
Yeah. I mean, I've obviously learned so much, and I still am continually learning. It's like little things that he does that I pick up on, and I've taken and used it, and I've seen where it's gotten me. And it's just majority of it's off the field, to be honest with you. Like his approach on the field is consistent as all get out. And, you know, he's the GOAT for a reason in my eyes. And he's the first ballot Hall of Famer that, you know, is still playing. But, you know, just the little stuff that he does off the field, like, you know, it'll be a random Wednesday night after practice, and he'll call me and be like, Christian, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm just chilling. He's like, all right, you know, can you meet me at Phoenix Children's Hospital in 10 minutes? We're going to go say hi to this kid real quick. Like, just little things like that. Oh. We used to go to the movies we go every Friday. My rookie year, we'd always go to the movies. And, you know, we'd be getting popcorn and stuff like that. And he'd hand the, you know, it'd be 10 bucks, whatever. And he'd just hand the registered dude 50 and be like, just pay for whoever's behind me. You know, just little stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And doesn't, you never see him posting about things he does in the community. It's always everybody else posting what he's doing.
Right.
And like, you don't have to donate and then immediately make a video montage on your Instagram with Drake, you know, saying, you know, Drake in the background saying how good you are. You know what I mean? Like, for special occasions, yes. Like, if you want to, like, because
call attention to that organization or whatever, you know. Yeah,
exactly. Like, we're all building our brand. We're all using our platforms to greater, you know, for the greater good. But when it comes to little things like that, he's above and beyond anybody else. And just how to carry yourself and hold yourself in certain situations, and, you know, from little things of how to dress, and, you know, it's life lessons and things that, you know, he's taken and he's used, and just the way that his mind works. It's the best person to be around on a daily basis.
How fired up are you for this season? I mean, you know, it sounds like they're working diligently to figure out what's going to happen. I just listened to, you know, Seattle Sports Radio talking about the no fan thing. But that aside, like, Hopkins, you, Larry, you guys beefed up your D. Like, Kyler's coming in, you know, obviously probably way more confident than last year now that he's just comfy in the system. Like, you got a young fucking stud coach that's like showing dope ass views of his house on draft day. I mean, like, there's a new swagger in AZ, man. And I'll tell you, speaking as a Hawks fan, I'm like, hey guys, can you give Clowney the fucking money he wants?
Right.
So we can stay competitive, because AZ is, I mean, dude, right? Like, you, is that something that's discussed with you guys over text? Like, holy shit, like, are you watching the draft text? And when Hop, you know, got when that deal got made for him, like, now when you look at this roster, are you just like, holy shit, man, sky's the limit?
Yeah, we know, you know, we can actually compete and vie to get a playoff spot and really take this thing somewhere. And it is exciting, and I can't wait. You know, fans are not, I just want to get back out there and play. And
right,
you know, with the way we ended last season, and, you know, I hate to say it, that big win in Seattle for us, like, that really that really like going to the locker room, we're like, okay, you know, we got something here. We got something here. Because it's not easy to win down there. It is not easy to win down there. That's one of the hardest places.
It is.
A divisional win in Seattle at the end of the season. It's cold and windy like that. Like,
by the way, you took a bite out of our like NFC West hopes. Like, I can't imagine anything sweeter than knowing that you just like, you know, took it away and hearing the 12s fucking cry to their coffees, right?
But it was good, man. Like, we know we got some now, and so we're just we're just excited to put it all together, and honestly, just excited to see it in person because we're on virtual meetings and stuff like that now. So just to finally get out there is going to be fun.
Is your coach doing is having like a young coach, like, I don't know how much older Wilkes was than Cliff, but like, is having that young energy, like, even though Pete Carroll's fucking pushing 70, like, obviously, like, you hear from those guys that like his youthful spirit and just, I don't know, like that plays a role in the way that everything from practice to, you know, Tuesday meetings or whatnot is the way people like conduct themselves. Is it, I don't know. Is it cool to have a guy that isn't too much older than you so that you feel, is there an extra level of relatability, or sometimes are you like, dude, you're fucking 5 years older than me. You don't really know. Like, I think maybe I actually have a better idea because I'm actually the one playing. Like, yeah. What's your view on that?
No, it's definitely better. One, because just the positivity. He comes from, and he's been under old school coaches and whatnot, and coaches that have that old school mentality. But that old school mentality is 95% negative that comes out of your mouth, and it's just how it is. That's how old school coaches are, and that worked for, you know, some people in some organizations. But, you know, everything that came out of his mouth this year was positive, like always awesome. Upbringing us. And yeah, you have to bite something in his ass when something's not right, but he'll do it and then move on to a positive, because, you know, there's no sense of trying to bring us down. We're grown men. We know how to own our shit. And the only thing that we need to focus on is going out there and winning on Sundays. And that was the main thing that he said is, look, I don't care if, you know, you come in here with all your chains on, you know, dressed in the same clothes you were in last night when you're in the building. But once we're out there on that field, we're here to work. And we're all here to work when we're in the classroom towards one common goal, and that's to win football games. And so as long as you're doing that, I could give two shits what else you do, as long as you're not breaking the law or breaking team policy. But other than that, we're here to win games. You guys are professionals. This is what you're paid to do. And so I think just having that, knowing we have that leniency to, like, do whatever we need to do to get in our groove and be the best that we can be, and knowing that, you know, he's going to be there by us our whole side and, you know, put us in the best position to win, it's just good. And you can just relate better to him. And I think it's just it's been a great move for us.
Fuck yeah, dude. Well, you're definitely dialed into the you've probably had your fair share of media over the years, starting since high school. But dude, you are like, you're one of the best I've seen at just giving full answers back. I can't tell you the amount of times as a comic, especially when you see in these post game interviews, like being like, so dude, young coach, that's got to be exciting, huh? Yeah, no, it's gonna be. He's got a great energy, and he's got some cool shirts. Next question, and you're like, Jesus Christ! All right. So yeah. I appreciate the thoroughness, dude. You're a thoughtful, you're a thoughtful guy. Cool. All right, I don't want to keep you too much more from your fucking shooting spree you're about to do online on Twitch. But first of all, thanks for doing this, man. You're the shit. Yeah, you're just as cool off the field as you are. And hopefully when this season resumes, you know, I try to hit a lot of Seahawks games. So if they let any fans in the building, hopefully we can kick it at in Arizona or at CenturyLink.
Yeah, AZ or Seattle for sure.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah, anytime. You know, my girl is from Arizona, so the last probably 4 years, we've been together 4 years, so I think almost every game the Hawks have played the Cardinals, I've flown back, and we've made a thing out of it, and it's dope. Okay. Dude, I mean, you speak to that real quick, because it's always a good game, and for whatever reason it's become a rivalry. I think going back to Carson Palmer, I think the years when I think the first year when the Cardinals again, like, put the took the punch hole away from our playoff card, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's been this thing built, and it's always competitive, and you guys coming to us is now the toughest game of the season.
Right.
Do you feel that on the field? Like, the rivalry, is there a lot of shit talking?
No. Yeah, there's definitely, you know, there's some shit talking, but I'd say the main thing about that game is just so physical. Like, you know, when we're about to play Seattle, like, it's going to be four quarter, like, heavyweight fight. Like, there's nothing being held back in, you know, especially with that defense, and you got guys like Bobby Wagner and stuff like that. Like, it's physical out there. Like, there, nobody's holding back. And that's all divisional games, though. Like, you know, we got, you know, the 49ers too. And,
oh yeah, dude, they're
fine. LA, like, every game in our division, that's why people say it's the best division in the NFL right now, because
hell yeah,
just the stars that are in our division. Like, now you got DeAndre Hopkins, you got Aaron Donald, you got Russell Wilson, Bobby White, Jadeveon Clowney, you got Larry Fisher, like, Chandler Jones, Patrick Peterson. Like, the list goes on of how many elite players are in this division. And when we get to playing one another, it's like, it's as good as it gets out there when you're talking like high level skill football players.
Oh yeah. You played against Sherm. Wasn't Sherm your first year still on the Hawks?
No. So Sherm was on the 49ers. So
okay. Does he talk a lot of shit?
No, he doesn't. Oh, I mean, every competitor is going to talk to it at some point. He's definitely not, you know, the young guy that he was before, you know, when he was in Seattle. But it's fun because I've gotten to go up against him 2 years in a row, and just having to battle against, you know, one of the greats has been fun. And he
makes
paid
you
me
better, right?
Sorry?
Makes you better, right?
100%. And he paid me a compliment after the second time we played up in San Francisco after the game. And it, I remember it meant a lot. And I was like, damn, that's one of those moments where you're like, you know, Richard Sherman just, you know, paid me a compliment and said, like, I'm getting really good. And, you know, he likes my game and stuff like that. So that's just one of those moments here. It honestly just motivates you.
Oh yeah. You get all giddy. You're like, and then you just don't know if you should overstep your boundary and be like, oh, thanks, man. Hey, do you want to play Halo online later? Or like, what's up? what's Call of Duty? Like, what's your Xbox screen name?
Right.
All right, dude. Well, I want to close this out with what I've been doing. I know you're a charitable guy. I don't know if you have an organization currently that you're working with, but I'd like to do a close out with the game, a question game where every correct answer, I'm going to donate $100 to the charity of your choice.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, cool. And even if it's your Call of Duty controller fund, we'll we'll make a PayPal exchange. All right, question number one. Who could win in a race between you or Kyler Murray from the stadium to the hockey arena that's across the street?
Me.
That is correct. $100 in the bank for Christian Kirk. That is correct. Christian, what's been your favorite snack during this quarantine?
Is there a yes or no question to that? Or like, is there a right or wrong question?
I mean, just what is it? We'll see. What's your favorite snack?
My favorite snack. Ooh.
What's been your favorite snack? What have you just like been going to a little too much, you think?
What is my favorite snack? I'm a big chips and guac guy.
That is correct. $200 in the bank. By the way, so am I. That's fucking, if you put me on an island, give me spaghetti and meatballs, chips and guac, probably some salsa too. And a six pack of Zima. What is your favorite movie quote?
It's from the Batman Dark Knight Rises. You think darkness is your ally? I was born in it.
Oh,
I like
shit.
That. Hey,
that's fucking hard. All right, that's correct. $300 in the bank for Christian Kirk. Question number four. What do you think is happening more in quarantine? Hand jobs or butt stuff?
Hand jobs.
That is correct. $400 in the bank for Christian Kirk. For sure. It's an easier go-to.
Easier.
Question number five. Favorite field to play on in the NFL?
Our field.
That's correct. That is correct. $500 in the bank for Christian Kirk. Question number six. What do you miss most about football?
Scoring touchdowns.
Fuck yeah. That is also correct. You're super good at this. That's $600 in the bank for Christian Kirk. Question number seven, what's the best binge show during quarantine? Not what have you been watching. What is the best binge show? What have you gone through and you're like, yeah, dude, this was easy, breezy, beautiful cover girl. I got through this in no time and I would do it again if I had to.
Oh, so like quickest, like.
Yeah, that you just easy to digest. You're going to watch it all in one sitting because you have no choice.
Oh, I don't know about one sitting, but it's pretty easy to get through. Entourage.
Ooh, yeah, dude. Did you watch it when it was on?
Not when it was on, but I watched it in college. I ran through it in college like 3 times.
Oh yeah, it's the best. Jerry Ferrara, who played Turtles, a good buddy of mine.
Oh really?
Yeah, and he when I first, I mean, that was like my go to. That in The Office and a few others were like my go to. Like, you know, get a little high, put on some just to fall asleep to.
Yeah.
And so once I met him and had him, he's on the podcast a bunch and come to a bunch of stand up shows and he's just like, it's even cooler when they're. Especially, you know, you meet an athlete or an actor and they're like also a fan of the show. So then you're right. Like, oh, cool. I can actually talk to you. And when I say questions like, dude, did you improvise that line when you guys were at Cannes and you were trying to get a ride from Kanye and you said that shit to Drama? And it's like, and he's like, oh yeah. And he remembers everything. And
yeah,
but that show is, that show is, can't make that show nowadays.
No, but you have to let him know I'm a big fan.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, I'll just connect you guys.
Yeah.
I'll get him to come out when the season hits. We'll come easy. If we're one of the 15 fans that are allowed to come in the stadium, me and Jerry will sit there courtside. All right. Was that?
I was see if I could pull some strings.
Fuck yeah, dude. All right. Question number 8. Do you reminisce more about high school days or college days in football? And that means high school, yeah?
High school.
And is that just because you got like being in AZ still, there's more opportunity for that shit to come up or what?
I think...
Or do you wake up every morning and kiss newspaper clippings of your stats?
No, I did not do that. but I think just because I grew up with all, like my senior class, we've been playing football together since we were in like the 4th grade. And so we grew up
popcorn,
like middle school, all that stuff, and then played all 4 years together at Saguaro. And so like we were real close. Like, we had a special bond. And I think that's why we didn't lose many games either, because we had been playing together for so long. But, yeah, I think high school.
Dude, that's the best. You still get, and they're all homies now, yeah?
Homies.
It's the best. All right, question number 9. How hot is it in Arizona right now?
It's probably like 75.
That is correct. $900 in the bank for Christian Kirk. You're crushing this game, dude. Final question. Most famous person in your phone that you could call right now or butt dial tonight?
Probably Odell.
Oh, shit. For real?
Yeah.
That's famous. That's probably. Dope. Do you guys ever work out together?
Yeah, plenty of times.
Fuck, dude. What's the trick? The one-hander?
You should see. If you haven't seen his hands in person, it's freakish.
No, it's my desktop screensaver. I've seen it. That thing's fucking huge. That's where I got the 2 screens.
Yeah, it's insane.
The hand, yeah, I mean, that's all it is, right? Like, somebody told me once that they met Michael Jordan and he came over as an actress and he kind of startled her by putting his hand on her knee to kind of start to say like, hey, what's going on, pretty lady? I'm paraphrasing. That's not what he said, but he was like, hey, what's going on? I'm Michael. Hey, ever been in the sky with Air Jordan? Again, he didn't say that, but he came over with a lot of swagger and she goes, dude, I looked down. She goes, it was the biggest fucking hand I've ever. She goes, I didn't even know you could get that much like skin to come out of your wrist. And I was like, yeah, I mean, like the guy, like, you know, palmed the ball with such ease, but that has a lot to do with, yeah. Well, dude, that's correct. That's $1,000, dude.
Shit.
You crushed it.
I'm great at this game.
Well, I'll send that your way and you can get it to where it needs to go. Do you have a charity in mind that you jam with?
I work a lot with Children's Cancer Network, so.
Perfect, dude.
I will send it their way.
You're the shit, dude. Yo, man, I really appreciate you doing this. This was a blast. It was so cool to get to be on the same field with you at that camp. And you just crushed it, man. I truly hope they figure out the season. I know that you guys are going to be, probably getting my Hawks way. But, you know, that's what's great about sports, man.
Yeah, it's a part about it. I appreciate you having me
on. Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
It's fun to just chill, shoot the shit, and talk ball.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. Later, Christian.
Be easy.
See you, bud.